parables of Jesus this summer. Parables are these stories. They allow Jesus, who was a master teacher and a master communicator, and he gave sermons, he gave discourses, as they're called, kind of by the scholars, but he also told a lot of stories. Stories have a way of capturing our imagination, and they allow truth to be communicated, sometimes in ways better than direct communication. It gets into our soul, our heart. Again, our imagination is at work. And Jesus did quite a bit of these. So if you were here the last couple of weeks, we were in Luke chapter 18, looking at two parables right there, back to back. The first one in Luke 18 is on the persistent widow, where Jesus contrasts this widow who, in his story, wasn't getting the justice she wanted, needed, ought to have had, and the judge was an unjust judge, and the only thing the widow could do is what we would call nag and persist, and Jesus says that finally this judge, because he's had it, he grants her the justice that she needs. And it's like he's trying to compare God, but no, it's a contrast. He's going from lesser to greater, saying, if that can happen, how much more, right? Your God, our Father. So we looked at that 2 weeks ago, that story. And again, the way Luke even helps us understand it, the point is we ought to pray. We ought to pray and not lose heart, because God loves to hear his kids pray, and he does answer. Sometimes the timing is not what we would want and what we think, but God does love to hear and loves to answer. Then right after that parable in Luke, we were looking last week, this parable, this story of a Pharisee and a tax collector. Again, contrasts, two very different people in Jesus' day. The Pharisee, really not like what we think. We kind of have a very much a modern day idea. When we hear the word Pharisee, we think of a hypocrite. And a lot of them were, as we look back in the story of the Bible and as Jesus talks about these Pharisees, they were. But in their time and the way Jesus' hearers would have heard it, that was the good, religious, righteous, honorable person. And so there's this good, upright person, and then there's the tax collector, the person who's stealing from his own people to pay the Romans. And again, just a contrasting pair, and they go to the temple where God's presence was at that time, and they go to pray, and the Pharisee is self-righteous, and the tax collector, on the other hand, all he can pray is, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus says that person and that heart attitude left the temple, left God's presence justified. And it's a reminder to us the kind of attitude we need to have when we pray and when we're interacting. And it's so easy to be self-righteous in so many areas of life, spiritual areas or other. Well, today we're leaving Luke and we're going to get into Matthew today. Matthew chapter 13. And Matthew 13 is known, that whole chapter, some of you with Bibles may have a heading even over it, as, are you ready for these kind of two fancy words put together? Parabolic discourse. Okay, it almost sounds like a medical condition, okay? But parabolic, you hear the word parable in there? So in discourse, again, like sermon, lecture. So in Matthew 13, based on everything that's been happening with Jesus' disciples and then the Pharisees even in chapter 12, he now is going to do some teaching in parables. He's going to launch into a bunch, and Matthew records, I think there's like eight of them, boom, 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 right in a row in Matthew 13. And we come to the first one, and it might even be one of the most famous parables. It's the parable of the sower. Although, and Jesus even says that, but the content has to do with the soil, and we'll see that in a moment. The parable of the sower. If you have a Bible, open to Matthew 13, please. And I just want to keep encouraging you. I know it's not the most convenient to bring a Bible along with your chair, along with your blankets. And I mean, again, we're having a very fall-esque July morning today, but that's okay. But if you can grab that Bible, or if you're swiping on a device, I just would encourage you to have God's word in front of you. Matthew 13, this parable of the sower, parable of the soil, as we'll see. We're going to listen and hear the parable. Jesus is going to give us the meaning of it. And then we're going to make some applications from the parable. So let me read. I'm going to read both the parable and then Jesus' interpretation. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 1. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood at the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then skip to verse 18. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the world, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit, and it yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this parable, Jesus starts off, or rather Matthew is telling us at the top there of chapter 13, again, following on the heels of 12 and a lot of teaching and a lot going on, that the same day Jesus left the house where they were. And I had the privilege when I was in college to spend a month in Israel and got to spend time up where this is, up in Galilee. And they even have today an inlet where, again, sort of it's proposed as maybe that the place where Jesus was. It's sort of, there's a natural amphitheater where people could have been. And Jesus, as it says, got into a boat that would have given him some space. And he could have sat there, stood there, taught while everyone was on this hillside. And I want you to notice in verse 2, it says, great crowds gathered. So often in Matthew especially, that's an important word because there's the disciples, and we typically think of the 12 when we see that word, but there was more than that. There were at least 100 plus of people who were followers of Jesus, disciples. So there's that group, and then there's the crowds in Matthew, and these are kind of the looky-loos. They often show up when there's miracles and Jesus has things to say to them, and it's at this point, because of these great crowds, that he knows it's time to teach in some parables. It's time to teach some things, and some of them are going to understand, some of them aren't, and really, the part I skipped here in Matthew 13, Jesus explains why he teaches in parables, and it comes out of the Old Testament, some prophecy, but this is like the kickoff parable here to the crowds, to the multitudes. It's about this sower who goes out to sow. But notice there at the end, at verse 9, Jesus says, he or she who has ears to hear, well, we all do. So again, kind of a way of saying, like, are you listening? Do you hear this? And it's a code for us, for them, to be paying attention. Are we hearing? Jesus then, at verse 18, picks that word up again. And here it's actually a command. It's an imperative. Once he's explained about parables, he says, as a command, hear, listen, get this, the parable of the sower. And so I want to right away now move into verses 18 to 23 and let Jesus' explanation of things speak to us this morning. And again, are we hearing right now? Do we have ears to hear? So Jesus says, he explains that the soil is the human heart. Now again, not our emotions only. Again, for the most part, in the Bible, heart means emotions, yes, but it includes thoughts. It includes our will. It's the core of who we are. So the soil in this parable represents the human heart. Again, not just our emotions. It's the core of who we are. And what Jesus is getting at is that not everyone is really excited about Jesus and the message of the kingdom. See, that was at the heart of chapter 12, the message of the kingdom, the gospel. Gospel means good news, the good news of the kingdom. And Jesus has been teaching this, preaching this, and not everybody has been excited. And that's why he's telling these stories and why the 12 come to him and ask for an explanation. And he's trying to explain. Anytime he is preaching and teaching and anytime God communicates, not everyone has the same response. And that's true today. It's true today. So he identifies four different kinds of soils in that story, right? The along the ground, the path, the rocky soil, the soil where there's weeds and thorns, and then good soil. Four different soils that represent four different heart responses, core being responses to the message of the kingdom, which is, hear this, it's the message of salvation. At the core, this is the message of salvation. Now, some of you are going, okay, I know that. I've heard that. I've done that. I've checked that off in my life. Hang on. Okay, that is, it's the message of salvation, but there's nuance that we all need to be hearing what Jesus has to say this morning. How are you hearing? I want you to keep asking you that question. I want you to just kind of have that question hovering in your mind. The same seed gets sown. It's the same sower representing Jesus in the message, but the difference is the different soils. So while, yes, like Jesus says in verse 18, hear the parable of the sower, really he's dealing with four different soils. So the first one, in verse 4 and verse 19, the path, right? The soil that fell on the path. And that represents a hard heart, or we might even say those who just will not listen. So verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, the message of the kingdom is God's rule and reign. It's now, Jesus has come, he's brought God's rule and reign, but it's also not yet. He's going to come back one day. So this message of the kingdom that's now and not yet, his rule and his reign in our life, the salvation he brings, meaning the way to be right with him, by what he has done on his terms, the message of the gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, the good news, right? When anyone hears the word, verse 19, of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one. This story, this parable is found in Mark and Luke. Here Jesus, or Matthew records Jesus is calling the devil the evil one. In Mark, I think it's the devil, and then I think Luke says Satan. So again, this is speaking of the enemy. When the word is given and people hear it and they don't understand it, Jesus says the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in their heart. Luke says, in fact, when that happens, they can't be saved. That's how Luke adds to what Jesus' point was. So this happens. Some people, their heart, they're just not ready. They don't want to hear. Tell me something happy, tell me something good. But this message that God is God and he calls the shots and he offers something that I have to give up my way of life and surrender to, some people don't want that. And when that happens, the evil one takes the gospel message that some people love, and he snatches it away. Don Carson, one of my favorite New Testament scholars, puts it like this. Some people hear the message about the kingdom, but like hardened paths, they do not let the truth penetrate. And before they really understand it, the devil snatches it away. So that's the first soil, the first parable, story of our hearts, a hard heart to the message. But then Jesus says, there's also seed that falls on rocky ground. And we could call this what one writer calls the superficial heart. So verses 20 and 21. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet, there's no root in himself, but this person endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. I can just tell you that as someone who grew up in a youth group, with a big youth group, with a lot of people, this is a lot of those people. There were a lot of people in our youth group who received the message with joy and would go to camp and go on this trip and this and that, but they're no longer walking with the Father, with God. They don't claim to be Christians. Many of them were told, I think incorrectly, just pray a prayer and you'll be forgiven. And so they thought, okay, I'll pray a prayer, it'll be like a ticket, and now I can enjoy these benefits of youth group and whatever and heaven one day. And then there's joy, there's some semblance of fruit, but like Jesus says, it's like, and I'm not a gardener at all, okay? Like, I like to just hack stuff away when I'm told to prune, which isn't good, and kind of use a leaf blower, and you know that I don't know much at all about gardening and growing things, but I get this idea that some things they'll sprout up right away, but they don't last, because if there's not good soil that goes deep, if it's shallow, it can't produce what it's intended. And that's what Jesus says here, that some people receive it and there's joy, but it doesn't last. And he says there's a time when it appears that it lasts, but things happen, tribulation, trials, persecution, and people turn away. There's a third heart represented by soils. Jesus said back in verse 7, some seed falls among thorns. And this represents a divided heart or a heart, a person that's preoccupied. So Jesus says, what was sown on the thorns, this is verse 22, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This is especially something we need to hear in the West, in the Western world, in America. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. That word deceitful there, that's like a warning. You know, thorns, they don't choke things suddenly. Like it takes a while, and then the good stuff is killed by thorns. And we here in the West, we can have cares of the world, and there's so many of them. Our jobs, our families, our future, our retirement, on and on and on. And those things matter, but in an order. But we get so preoccupied with them. And then the deceitfulness of riches. The idea there, if something's deceitful, it tricks you. And so some people get so preoccupied on money. And so, again, this message of the kingdom, it sounds good, but really other things are more important. There's like Jesus says, a divided heart really is what's going on. It's subtle. We aren't even aware that other things are more important. And Jesus says, some people, that's the soil of their heart. But then there's a fourth soil, verse 8, verse 23. Jesus calls it the good soil. It's the fruitful heart. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Notice 100, 60, 30, larger to smaller, but they're all fruitful. It doesn't matter that there's less. Really, this is speaking of individuals, and everyone is different in terms of their potential. Just like no one tree or vineyards are the same. It's all different. What does it mean for there to be a fruitful heart in some person, right? We kind of get the idea of a plant, but what about in a person's life? What does it mean to be fruitful, Jesus? You're saying some people have good soil in their heart and it yields this fruitful life. Well, let me just read from God's word. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. This speaks of the outworking of divine seed in our life. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. John's language there is the idea of continuously, like sins, you know, and sins and sins and sins willfully. It's this habitual, willful practice of sinning. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. Why? Because God's seed abides in him or her, and he or she cannot keep on sinning because they have been born of God. That's a picture of a fruitful life. Or how about the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Again, fruit. So not stuff that we produce, but we bear. It's fruit of the Spirit. That is something where we are fruitful. Or there's spiritual gifts. We talked about that a little bit a few weeks ago. Of course, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Peter and Ephesians all speak of these gifts for the body. That speaks of fruitfulness. Or Colossians 1:10. So walk in a manner, live in a manner, worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You hear that again? Bearing fruit, showing that what God has done, that it's there, that it's real. Or Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Listen to this example of being fruitful. Paul's talking to this church that he had wanted to visit. He hadn't been able to at the time of writing yet, the Roman church. He says, I do not want you to be unaware that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. What Paul's saying, I want to come because I have this message that God has given me about how we can be made right with God, the gospel, the message of the kingdom, as Jesus called it. And I want to see people saved, see people give their life to Jesus. That's what he's talking about when he says, reap a harvest. So that's another way to describe fruitfulness. So just in those, five examples, the Bible talks about what a fruitful life is. Now get this. We don't live a fruitful life in order for God to say, oh, okay, I'll take him, I'll take her. God does this work. The gospel message comes from God, from his word, as we hear it in church services, as we go places, as we read things. And sometimes our heart is right and the soil is right, and it's this mixture of God's working and there's human responsibility, and we respond, and a person who responds to this message then bears this fruit. You see, it's fruit. It comes after. God does something, we respond, and then there's this yield. And it looks different in everybody's life. But Jesus was aware that there's crowds, there's people that have some interest in him. And so he says, listen, how's your heart? How's your hearing? Do you have ears to hear? What's the condition? Because some people, they want nothing to do with it. That will take some of the benefits, but they have a hard heart. They reject God and his message. Some people, it's superficial. They maybe prayed a prayer when they were little, but but they've given nothing of their life to following Christ. There's no real meaning in their life. And again, as I said earlier, I have a concern as a pastor that's a lot of people in America where we live. A lot of people that went to camps and vacation Bible schools, heard a message, prayed a prayer, were promised something if just they would believe. And then there's people with a divided heart. Or there's people with a fruitful heart. Again, church, what kind of heart do you have? And I ask it that way because this week, as I've been thinking about this parable and praying about it, two things strike me, kind of big picture things. Like Jesus talking to the crowd, I don't want to presume that everybody coming on a Sunday morning has responded to the message of the kingdom and said, I need it. I need the work of the cross that Jesus did for me. I need the forgiveness. I need the cleansing. God, do it. And so I need to communicate, and I've been praying for all of us in our hearts. Does everybody that comes, where do they fall? But then, assuming many of you have believed, I think there's a place for us to ask this sort of on a daily basis. So let me put it to you another way, on an ongoing basis. Like this morning, right now, is your heart receptive to the Word of God? This week, when you go back to work maybe, or go into that situation, do you have a receptive heart to the Word of God? Something I've written about in the past, and talked about, I know in the past, this doesn't come from me, from John Piper. He talks about four scriptures that he prays through kind of every time he comes to God's Word. And if I could put some words in Piper's mouth, it might be so that he would have a good soil of a heart every time he comes to the Word of God. So he starts with Psalm 119:36. Incline my heart to your testimonies, God, and not to selfish gain. Incline my heart to your testimonies. In other words, turn my heart to your word. Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. God, open the eyes of my heart. Make my heart good soil so that I can behold wondrous things from your word. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk, that I may live in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I know I struggle with a divided heart all the time. I want to follow God and obey him, but I also am selfish and I like to be comforted and take care of myself. And like, you know, I'm just divided. And I can sit down and feel that. Like it's palpable. And I need to pray this. God, unite my heart, my thoughts, my will, my emotions to fear you, to follow you. Teach me your way. So I think when we come to this parable, yes, at one level, it's about people responding to the message of salvation, the kingdom message. Where's their heart? Are they ready to respond? And not everybody does. And I'll say more about that in a moment. But on an ongoing basis, when you come on Sunday morning to church service to hear the word of God, oh, would you be praying and know that I've started to pray for all of us that we would have good soil in our hearts. And when you sit down for whatever reading you do throughout the week with God, that you would have that kind of a heart. Because I know sometimes I sit down and read and it's like birds came and took it away because I didn't even catch anything. Or other times I'm divided. The cares of this world are focusing my mind more than what God's word says. And so I feel that. I live with that. Maybe you do as well. But let me make one more application as well. We all have people in our life that we love that have yet to follow Christ. Or maybe we talk about, well, they did once, they prayed once, but now they don't. this passage should inform us. Not everybody who springs up with joy or who responds with joy had that message take root. And sometimes you don't know. Sometimes things get planted and it takes a long time for there to be a harvest. So keep praying for that person. Maybe it's a family member. Pray for their heart to be good soil to hear the word. Pray that the devil won't snatch it away. Pray that they won't be divided by cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Pray for that. Pray for that in their life. And keep praying it for you, for your heart. And I just lastly, again, this morning, do you have ears to hear? What's the condition of your heart? We need to remember that we are invited to repent all the time, and we should be repenters on a daily basis for the little things we do to one another, right? In other words, turning back to God, because we're all prone to wander, as the hymn says, prone to leave the God we love, prone to focus on other things than him. Do you have ears to hear? What's the condition of your heart? Do you need to just in a moment quietly say, God, the soil of my heart has been divided. God, the soil of my heart has been hard. Soften it. Make it good. I want to receive from you. And if some of you this morning have never admitted that you're a sinner before a holy God and admitted that you are trying to do your life and hope that your doing will get to him, the message of the kingdom, the message of the good news of the gospel is that it's done. It was done by Jesus, his perfect life, his death on the cross. We don't do. We let go. We let his perfect life be done for us. And that then again produces the fruit that we might think of living for him. I would just invite you to talk to me afterwards, but let God do his work in you this morning. Let's pray. Father, make us as a church, a group of people, a group of men and women, a group of kids and adults that want to have your word go deep in us. We want to bear fruit in all the different ways that we're called to display the work that you do in our life. Make our hearts good soil. I pray that. And I pray that we would keep praying for people in our life that have yet to respond, that maybe have at one time responded but have walked away. May we trust what you say here, Jesus, that it's a heart issue, and you're in the business of changing hearts. So do that work. And do that work in our hearts, I pray, even today. May we build our life on what you say. May we be people that run over and over again in repentance to the cross of Christ to find forgiveness, to find mercy, to find grace. In Jesus' name.